At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He is in Glasgow, Scotland, and attending and speaking and listening to COP26. Some statistics here that take us to the Indo-Pacific. China alone is responsible for more than 30% of global emissions. Half of the 10 biggest cumulative CO2 emitters are developing countries. China, Russia, Brazil, Indonesia, and India. Of those countries, I'm focusing on the Indo-Pacific. India, Indonesia, China. You've just mentioned self-interest, Anatole, but self-interest includes those small nations in the archipelagos that are badly at risk. The promises made to them have not been followed through. The UN does not, at this point, seem to have the authority to do that. So what is to be done? Every man for himself?
I'm afraid I'm very pessimistic about the fate of the small island nations. At least, you know, it depends. But somewhere with mountains like Tahiti will be okay. But, you know, countries, you know, like Nauru, based on coral reefs, will simply go. And the populations, well, then it will become a question of providing a home for the refugees. But of course, I mean, the unfair thing, as they say, and it is dreadfully unfair, it's an appalling tragedy, is that these countries are responsible for virtually no emissions, for only tiny proportions of global emissions. So yeah, I mean, it's half a dozen major economies in the world which are pumping this stuff out and dooming, you know, in the first instance, a lot of small island nations to destruction.
Those small island nations include the Micronesia and all of the small islands where China is making a concerted effort for diplomacy and Belt and Road, where India, the Maldives, for example, and the huge coastline that India and China have in that part of the world. Self-interest, I understand, is no longer a human motive. However, there is prosperity here if they're mitigating circumstances. Is there something that can be done, or is it time to get out the lifeboats? What is your measure right now at 2021?
Well, you know, if I were in Micronesia, I'd be heading for the lifeboats, frankly. But in, you know, China and India, especially China, you do have, you know, powerful states, less powerful in India, which are capable, in the last resort, of taking, you know, some strong action. The Chinese have taken relatively strong action in certain areas. They've certainly, comparatively speaking, done more than us so far, given their relative levels of income and economic development. But I mean, in the end, it's going to come down to technological innovation. You know, whether we can find the technologies quickly enough that will allow us to either limit or capture emissions. And this requires, you know, pushing forward on a whole range of different technologies simultaneously. This is where I think the wartime analogy is quite useful. Most weapon systems which are researched fail. You know, if you look at the Second World War, an awful lot of them turned out to be crazy or useless or whatever. But that didn't mean that we gave up. We kept plugging away at a range of different things until finally we found something that worked. But of course, this took tremendous effort. It took tremendous amounts of money. It took tremendous amounts of will and determination. That, I think, is what we need. And then hopefully, when nothing can be guaranteed, we will get the technologies that will allow us to tackle this. But we've got to do it pretty quickly by now.
I highly recommend Bloomberg Green to the listener, mm-hmm. because it keeps a column of statistics that are numbing, but at the same time fascinating. I read today, for example, that we're plus 9.90 degrees centigrade, September 2021, increase over global temperatures, 1900s average. Wonderful. I'm not quite sure what to do with it, but we're warmer. And the one that compels me, minus 9.3% of the Arctic ice area versus historic average. In other words, the North Pole is melting. That's what we're witnessing. Now, there's prosperity there, Anatole. Do you see someone understanding that the trade is opening up and the passages into the North that we never imagined? We have about a minute.
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, that also reflects the fact that, as we've often heard here at COP26, that there are tremendous economic opportunities from the fight against climate change. The Biden administration has stressed this. You know, there are well-paid jobs, there are new industries, but they're not going to just happen. They have to be created, and the state has to lead people in that direction.
And the state, back to your book, The Nation State, are you in some fashion surprised at the amount of engagement, starting with Boris Johnson and including the powers? We have 30 seconds.
Well, the great thing in Britain, as in much of Europe, is that you do have a national consensus on climate change, unlike in America. People may differ about the solutions, but in England, there is no difference between the Conservatives and Labour when it comes to recognising that there is a problem. Boris Johnson has been lectured on the subject by his father, as well as Mises.
Yes, so, I've learned that the Johnson family are environmentalists, and Boris has joined Dad. Wonderful story to bring Oedipus to a happy ending. Climate Change and the Nation State, The Case for Nationalism in a Warming World. Anatole Leven's book, Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, in Glasgow. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.